Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. What's that? Yeah.
The fact that Christ came to the earth on a night that was cold, where things seemed helpless and hopeless, and where it seemed like there was no Savior, Christ showed up and changed the course of history forever. We should fall to our knees every time we think of the goodness of the fact that God left his throne to come down to this world for people who needed him. I mean, every time we think of what he's done, we should fall to our knees and worship him. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is in this place. We thank you that you love to show up and show off. And you showed off in the form of a baby, of an infant, coming in a birth that was miraculous. We thank you for your glorious power. And that you would choose something so simple to demonstrate how powerful you are. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you would continue to be in this place. May your presence continue to fill and to flow throughout this place. May people know that you are here, that you are speaking, that you are moving, that you are touching, that you are changing, that you are delivering, Father God, that you are setting people free, that you are healing those who are sick, Father God. May people know that the God that is alive and is well and is still moving and is still powerful is in this place this morning. And we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Yes, go ahead, give him a shout. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being here. For those of you, again, who don't know me, my name is Jose Lopez. I am the associate pastor here, and I get to sub in this morning for our senior pastor, who's a lot taller than I, who's a lot better looking than I. you know, he was supposed to be here this morning, but unfortunately he did. Developed some blood clots in his legs due to some of the medication that they prescribed him. All you need to know is that he is alive. He is well. He is just recovering. And we're hoping to see him soon. But I get to sub in just like Nick Foles for Carson Wentz. And hopefully I do a good job. And hopefully Nick Foles does a good job and continues to lead us to the Super Bowl. And the church said, amen and amen. If you're a Cowboys fan, get out. I'm just kidding. No, I'm seriously, get out. I'm kidding. So yeah, I get the sub in this morning. And let me tell you something. I actually have been falling in love with this series that we've been doing. Is anybody enjoying the series? Marvelous. For those of you who weren't here this week, there's nothing wrong with the spelling. That's just the European way of spelling it. Our pastor is Irish, and therefore he does things a little bit Irish, and that's okay. But we are in this series called Marvelous. Marvelous. And we get the idea from, Pastor Dave had the idea of, you know, kind of coming off the theme of the Marvel comic books and presenting Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, the greatest superhero to ever come and join us on the face of this earth. And so we've been jumping off this theme of Marvel, and Pastor Dave opened up the series, which was incredible, about talking about how it's such a miraculous thing that Christ came into the earth and was born and how the odds were really stacked against him, really, how the odds were stacked against this prophecy, this promise actually coming true, but he still broke through the odds and still came down to this earth as a child in the form of a baby. He did what he said he was going to do because he always does what he says he's going to do. Amen? And so the second week was last week. We talked about marvelous grace. Did anybody enjoy that message? Not because I preached it, but, you know, okay. But it was awesome, right? We got to learn about the marvelous grace of God, which is why he came into this earth to demonstrate his grace towards people who were lost and broken. And so today we're going to continue with this theme of marvelous. And today I want to talk about marvelous presence. And notice I crossed out the T and the S. Yeah. Because so many times we make Christmas, when you were a child, you marveled at the fact that this fat guy in a red suit would break into your house in the middle of the night while you were sleeping, eat all of your cookies to continue his caloric, horrible habits, drink all your milk, and then possibly leave you one or two gifts if you were good enough. And if you weren't good enough, then you could expect a lump of coal. But whenever Thanksgiving came around, right? We're all kids. Whenever Thanksgiving came around, we all had this anticipation of what was to come in less than a month. It was Christmas, and Santa is coming, and the elves are working on our gifts, and it's just all this crazy stuff, and we marvel at the fact that we wake up on Christmas morning to receive presents, because that's what we've been promised. And for some of you, it went really well. I mean, you wake up, have a nice Thanksgiving dinner, and from that day on, the tree goes up. You know, you bust out the Advent calendar, and you bust out, and you're eating your chocolate either before you go to school or you come home from school, and you're busting open that Advent calendar to make sure you eat your chocolate, and you're anticipating because your Christmas went so well. You had the parties and the eggnog, and you woke up on Christmas Day, and your tree was stacked this high with Christmas gifts and all this stuff. But for some of us, it wasn't that way. I wish I could tell you about my Christmases. There was no Christmases in the Lopez household. We were too broke. And so after a while, the gifts started to trickle down, and it was like we had this anticipation, and every year I wake up and there's nothing, and Santa Claus forgot about me that year. And don't be sad for me. I learned something very, very essential, is that Santa Claus would actually let me down. For some of us, we didn't get to wake up with that anticipation because year after year after year, we got nothing. I tell you that not so you feel bad for me. It really didn't matter to me. There was much more to life than just gifts. I tell you that because that's really the place that the Israelites are in when Christ comes into the world. See, they're waiting in anticipation for a Savior that was promised 700 years before he even came. Isaiah in the book of Isaiah in chapter 7, he promises them and he says, "This will be a sign to you. Behold, a virgin shall give birth to a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," which is God with us. That happened 700 years before it even happened. Can you imagine day after day, year after year, waiting and hoping for the Messiah, the Savior, the one who was supposed to rule, the one who was supposed to set us free from all of our captivity, the one who's supposed to bring us back into the nation that we were called to be? They're waiting every single day, year after year, for the Messiah that had been promised, and wake up every Christmas day and see nothing. 700 years. And then 400 years before he actually shows up, there's no word from God. God is nowhere to be found. There is no prophet declaring the word of God. There's no sign of God anywhere. The anticipation. And they actually most likely got the way I got as a kid. I just stopped expecting anything on Christmas. So it's more than likely that these Israelites got to a point where they just said, maybe he's not coming. Maybe he won't show up. Can you imagine 700 years go by waiting for this presence of God's presence on earth? And there's no sign, no evidence, no nothing of him showing up. 400 years go by and bam! Here comes this woman named Mary. Mary was a virgin, and we look at her. We see her in Matthew chapter 28, or I'm sorry, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 18. And we see the introduction of Mary and how Christ comes into the world. Remember, it's 700 years after he's been promised. And the Bible says this: now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And that's where everybody should say, amen. He will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold the virgin.'" This is the promise that Isaiah spoke. He said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." I want to focus, I read all that just to focus on four words: Emmanuel, God with us. That's the most powerful declaration in the Bible that you could believe, that you could read. Emmanuel, God with us. Mary gets pregnant by the Holy Spirit, which is a miracle that just can't be explained. God places himself as a child in the womb of Mary, and she presents herself to Joseph, and Joseph's like, "What? You got to understand that Joseph in this time was waiting to have this experience with Mary, and now she's pregnant and he can't. And the baby is obviously not his because he didn't know her, as the Bible would say. Right? Because we have to be careful with the way we say things nowadays. He didn't know Mary, so therefore, how could you be pregnant? So he comes up with this idea, because he's such a good man. He's like, "Look, if I reveal her to everybody, if I expose her, like we talked last week, a woman who committed adultery and man who committed adultery would be put to death by stone. The law declared that they should be executed and stoned to death, and so if it's not my child, then it's got to be somebody's child. So if he exposed Mary, then he was going to most likely cost her her life." And so Joseph, being the guy, the good guy that he is, the Bible says he was a good man. He was a righteous and just man. He says he wanted to put her away quietly and divorce her quietly so nobody would know. And then the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, "Joseph, wait a minute. Hold up. Joe, don't do it, bro. Just stop. Think about what you're doing. Let me tell you something. This child is from the Holy Spirit. What is inside of Mary came from the Holy Spirit. She's righteous. She's pure. She's benevolent. What is inside of her comes from God, is from the Holy Spirit. Do not divorce her. Take her as your wife, because she will give birth to a child. His name shall be Jesus, and he will be the Savior of the world. He will save people from their sins." He didn't come to heal people. He didn't come to set people free. He came to his main primary reason for coming to the earth was to save people from their sins. This man named Jesus, this child named Jesus, is no ordinary child. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And then he said, all this happened, this entire scene, from Mary getting pregnant to the angel showing up and talking to Joseph. This whole thing happened because 700 years ago, there was a promise made that a virgin shall give birth to a child, and this child shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. See, that statement makes me marvel because it has so many truths built in four little words. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. See, the reason why I marvel at that statement, the reason why I marvel at his presence, and I'm going to give you three reasons, is because God with us means that he is no longer simply God above us. Here's what I mean by that, because I don't want you to be mistaken by what I'm saying. God is holy. God is beyond us. God is magnificent. He's so much greater than us. But what makes him different from every other God is that this God, God himself, came in the flesh to be a man born as a child so that he would be with us, not simply above us. So that we would be in relationship with him, so that we could love him and he could love us. He wanted to be our father, not just our dictator, our commander, not our president. He wanted to be in relationship with us. It goes beyond just being above us. He's with us. It's powerful to think that God himself is holy, majestic, glorious God, creator of the world, ruler of the entire universe, in all of his majesty, in all of his splendor, in all of his reigning power, he decided to leave his throne in heaven, come down to earth, and be God with us by becoming one of us. So that then he could walk in this life that we walk and be tempted in this life as we are tempted and live a pure and holy and perfect life which we in and of ourselves could never do. He came to be God with us, become one of us, live perfectly so that he would lay his life down on a cross as a perfect sacrifice. Can I get my water? Is it somewhere around there? Are you drinking my water? Okay, I got you, bro. I got you. God be with Lawrence right now, drinking my water. He left his throne. He left, and he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice, which we could never do, so that you and I would be saved from our sins. He came, God, the creator, the universe, not only wanted to be simply above us, but he wanted to be God with us and become one of us. And here is why you should marvel, because a God, a ruler, creator of everything should never have to do that. He never had to do that. He could have just wiped us all completely out and started over, made us perfect, completely annihilated devil, completely annihilated unperfect people. Instead, he gave himself up to save us. You should marvel at his goodness and greatness, that even though you did not deserve it, you could not earn it, he left his throne and died for us so that we would be saved from our sins, not because we asked him, but because he considered himself he wanted to make us worthy. He wanted to save us and to cover us with his righteousness. And so the only way that he could do that, the only way that he could have a relationship with us, was for him to die the perfect sacrifice himself. And so this God who is seen as a God who is way above us now leaves his throne to be with us. and offers up his life to be God with us. Emmanuel. We know that Jesus is God himself. And I marvel at the fact that people don't believe that, even though Matthew himself declares it in this very beginning story of the entire Gospel and New Testament, that this child is not only Savior, but he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so many people doubt that. And how could you doubt that when it's throughout the entire Word? John himself begins his story and forgets about the entire birth of Jesus and the lineage of Jesus. He says, it all began with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. He became flesh. God became flesh on earth to be with us. And Peter, he's talking to the church in the book of Acts. And he says this, that the church he purchased with his own blood. Jesus is the only one who bled, which makes him God. If God purchased the church with his own blood, that means Jesus is God. We should marvel at that in this season. We should marvel at the fact that he wanted to be with us. We should marvel at the fact that he did come to be with us. I marvel at those four words because God with us means that he is no longer far from us. So many of us feel so lost, so broken, so incomplete. Because the reality is that without Christ, we're lost. So if we look at him from that point of view, where we do not believe in his word, we do not believe in his sacrifice, we do not repent, we are not born again, God is a God who is afar off, because the Bible says that it was our iniquities that have separated you from God. It's our sin, it's our sinful nature. We were all born in sin. I don't care what you believe, the Bible declares that we all, every single one of us, fall short of the glory of God. That includes me. In my own nature, without the Spirit, without his sacrifice, I am a sinner. I have sinned before God. I fall short of his glory. I am imperfect. And it's because of that that when I stand before him, not believing in him, not accepting him as my Savior, that he is a God that is afar, distant from us, because he can have nothing. He's so holy. He can have nothing to do with sin. He can have nothing to do with imperfection. He is so good, so perfect, that he can have nothing to do. So he can be also seen as a God who is against us. But I'm thankful for the fact that he came down off his throne to be God with us. To be God with us, not God afar. He did it. Everything he did, the sacrifice he made, was to save you from your sins so that he could be God with us. Not God against us, not God afar from us, but God near and close and with you and loving you and holding you and embracing you and calling you his own and adopting you as his own child. If he seems afar from us, then maybe we should examine ourselves. Maybe we should examine ourselves and say, what sin is found in my life? Have I truly believed in his salvation? Have I truly embraced him? Have I truly accepted him? Am I truly believing in him? And I'm truly believing in the work and the finished work of the cross and the sacrifice that he made. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us. Where so many gods, you could try any other god, and every other god is about how much you can do to earn his love. And our God is the only God that says, you can't do anything. I give it freely. I give it freely. There's nothing you could do. There's nowhere you could go. I give it to you freely. That's grace. Grace is God giving us his riches and his love and his mercy strictly because he wants to. Since the fall of Adam, the number one problem we had is that sin entered the world, and because of it, we were born in sin, and sin separates us from God. But those of us who have put our trust in him, those of us who are born again, those of us who have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, he says, I am Emmanuel, God with you. I cover your sins. I remove your sins. I wash you and make you white as snow because I am Emmanuel. And when God looks at you and when you stand before me, all I will see is the righteousness of Christ that I have so willingly placed on you. Because he died the sinless death, because he lived so perfect, because he was so holy, because he was so good, because he was so merciful, he came to be God with us. And because of his work on the cross, we can be reconciled with him. It means all of our debt is paid. It means all of our sins are wiped away. It means everything is taken away. And all that's left is the finished work that Christ did. If that isn't the reason for Christmas, I don't know what is. I'm grateful for a God who gave us his presence as a present. That's what I marvel at in Christmas. That's what I want my kids to learn, is that not that this fat, holly, jolly man and with pink cheeks and whatever the case may be comes and he breaks into our houses. And whatever. No, I want them to marvel at the fact that a God came. God came to be with them, that God saves them and delivers them, and he reconciles our sins. He reconciles all of our debt. And he does it even though we don't deserve it. That's what Christmas is about. But here's the thing. That declaration, that promise of God with us, remains forever. See, because just because he died on a cross doesn't mean he's no longer with us. God with us, because of the finished work of Christ, his spirit can now live within us forever. He told his disciples, listen, I'm getting ready to leave, but don't worry, I'm sending someone, I'm sending you a comforter. I'm not leaving you alone, I'm not leaving you orphans. I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. Even to the ends of the earth. And so that should be encouraging to us, because his spirit, even though he died and rose again and went to heaven, his spirit still lives within us, where in the Old Testament his spirit would come and reside for a moment, but then leave. In the New Testament, he says, no, my spirit I place inside of you. I go with you wherever you go. Everything you need has been deposited within you because I am with you. And that should cause you to shout, because we have the promise in the Bible that says that greater is he in me that is in the world. If God be for me, who could be against me? And he's always with me, no matter what the situation I'm in, no matter where I go. God's presence, Emmanuel, is with us
for the rest of our lives, when we put our trust in Him, when we receive Him as our Savior. He is God with us forever and ever. And so when I'm weak, He becomes my strength. When I'm going through turmoil, He becomes my peace. When I'm fighting battles, He's the one who fights for me, because God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. The Savior of the world has come. He's done His work, and now He lives within me. He becomes our strength when we are weak. He becomes our peace in the midst of turmoil. He becomes our solid rock when the winds blow, when the rains fall, when the floods rise. He's what keeps us standing. He's God, Emmanuel, with us. And we can marvel over the presence of His presence. We can marvel that God, who once was afar, now he sticks closer than a brother. We can marvel because when it seems like we lack so much, we really don't lack anything, because the God of the universe came down from His throne to draw us near and call us His own. The Bible says we have been adopted in this grace. Adoption is such a beautiful picture, because that means that He didn't have to love us. That's the beautiful thing about adoption. It's someone who willingly says, I will bring you into my heart. I will bring you into my life, and I will love you when nobody else wanted to love you. I will embrace you. I will make you my own. And that's what Christ does. He adopted us into His grace. He adopted us in and made us His children, made us heirs with Him. Emmanuel, God with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He doesn't give up on us. His presence is always, always, always there. See, they thought that when Jesus was coming, they thought that He was coming and that He would come for just that moment. But no, He came so that we would be with Him, not just in this life, but in the life after. And He did so willingly. He did so willingly. But here's the thing about that promise. Here's the thing about that declaration. It's for those who believe in Him, who receive Him, who acknowledge Him as Lord, as Savior. That was the voice of God from heaven. Did you hear that? I'm just kidding. But seriously speaking, listen. The only thing that stops you from receiving this promise is the sin in our lives that we allow us to overtake, that we allow to overtake us, and we allow to keep us in bondage, and we allow to keep us in this captivity. And God said, I come to be with you. I come to set you free. I come that you may have life and life abundantly. I come to save you from your sins. To be God with you. Not just God over you, but God with you. I walk alongside you. I hold your hand. I embrace you. I become your father. It's no longer just this relationship that I'm trying to earn, that I'm striving for. It's a love of a father that walks alongside you, that embraces you, that adopts you as his own. And he says, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I wipe away your sins because I have carried them to the cross, and I cast them down into the deepest parts of the oceans, never to be brought up again, because I have come. He becomes God with us, God that sticks closer to us than a brother. God who's in our moments of pain, God who's in our moments of weaknesses, God who's in all of our battles. You see, the promise is not that you will never suffer. The promise is not that you will never need him. The promise is that he will always be there when you do. That's why I marvel. Because in this season, God came off his throne, became a man, to die for the sins that I committed, that I'm yet still to commit. And to call me his own. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? There are so many of us in this life who are like the people of Israel, who are really in a moment of darkness, who are living a life of darkness where we don't see God, we don't hear from God, we really don't feel this hope that's been promised. And the reason is because he is, in that moment, he is a God that is afar from us because sin is in our lives. And so if that's you and you want to receive this promise of Emmanuel, God with us, if you would just lift your hands and believe with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Don't leave for tomorrow what you could do for today. The moment is now. If you lifted your hands, would you say this prayer with me? Father, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made. I thank you that you came down from heaven as a child, became a man, only to lay your life down for the consequences and as a payment for my sins. This day I give my life to you. This day I declare you as Lord and Savior of my life. This day I put my trust in your saving grace. I believe in you. I love you. And I declare that this day forward, that I will follow you in all of your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you made that prayer today, I want to welcome you into the body of Christ. The Bible says that there's a celebration in heaven because you decided to accept him into your life. And so we thank you. We invite you to join us. We invite you to join this body and be a part of the family that God has put together. Amen. So would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing one more song. And if you made that decision today, please feel free to make it your way to the connection table. We have a Bible for you if you don't have a Bible. And you can also get a free little ornament that says grace on it that you can hang on your tree and be reminded of how good and how gracious God has been for you in this day. And let that be a reminder that his grace is forever. Amen? Amen. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. We thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, but you've came and forgave us of our sins. We thank you that we have that promise, not just today, but forevermore, until we are with you in heaven. I thank you and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Would you help the band worship?
Would you lift your voices? Come on, his love. His love will reign forever.